Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Happy Election Day, everyone. It is our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Election Day exit poll on the Brian Lehrer Show today. How are you voting today and why? We are doing this with a series of call-ins and guests, and we're going to go to a combined two questions next. One is an exit poll question, and one is a little more of an essay question. And the poll question is, if you voted on the ballot questions in New York City, term limit change back to two terms, yes or no, and what I'm calling the seven-question variety pack, where they bundled actually seven different changes to the New York City charter. That was question two. Did you vote yes or no on that? And this might actually help some of your fellow listeners in New York City decide on a very confusing and overly complicated ballot question. How to vote. We did a show on this yesterday as well. But while you're calling in, we want to know about your voting experience. Are these new paper ballots confusing to you? Are the voting machines having any problems? So give us your reports from anywhere in New York State on these paper ballots and the voting machines. How are they working? There were so many problems on primary day. Call in with your reports about your voting experience today. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And don't forget, we're also collecting text messages on this. If you text the word decide to 69866, we'll text you back with a way to report your voting experience and how voting is going for you today. Text decide to 69866. Also, I want to mention, if you're just joining us, we will be doing election returns tonight beginning at 8 o'clock. I'll be anchoring, and we'll have the WNYC news team spanning the political universe. Also, we'll have an evening-long simultaneous online chat on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org, so you can hang out with each other during the online chat as you follow the results. That also begins tonight at 8 o'clock. And one other thing on It's a Free Country right now, we have a predictions contest going. So if you are the person who can go to itsafreecountry.org and predict the most races from our area correctly and the splits, we also have the House and Senate splits, how those are going to turn out. If you are the person who wins the predictions contest, you will actually get a guest appearance here on the Brian Lehrer Show for being that politically in the weeds. So a lot to do, a lot to read, a lot to learn on itsafreecountry.org right now, including taking part in the predictions contest if you so choose. And call us up right now to tell us how the paper ballots seem to be working out, how the new voting machines in New York State seem to be working out, and how you're voting on the ballot questions if you're in New York City. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And joining us now is Larry Norden, senior counsel with the NYU Law School's Brennan Center for Justice, which keeps a careful watch on possible voting system failures around the country, including here in our area. Hey, Larry, welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian, thanks. Great to be here.
So the polls have been open for about 5 hours in New York State. Have you heard anything about major ballot or polling site issues?
Well, I should say right off the bat, the Brennan Center has been working with Election Protection, which is a coalition that fields calls from all around the country, including here in New York City. And I would encourage anybody that has any problems at the polls or sees problems at the polls to call 866-OUR-VOTE. We're keeping track of problems, and we have lawyers and technical experts who can help people make sure their votes get counted and contact the right people if there are problems to fix them. In terms of what's going on in New York City, and the metropolitan area, I think from what I've seen, it sounds like the city learned a lot of important lessons since the primary and have implemented them. Things are not perfect, obviously. There are reports of some polling places opening late and other problems with machines not working. But by and large, it sounds like the most important lessons were learned. And that most polling places are opening and things are going well. If there's one area of complaint that I have been hearing about, it is about the ballot itself, that it's difficult to read, and voters have found that found it confusing. So that's sounds like something that the city and the state are going to have to work on next year. There's a lot that could be improved there.
Let's hear about some people's experiences. Linnell in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Linnell.
Hi, Brian. I just went to the polls maybe 15 minutes ago, and while there weren't any problems with the machines, but it was just such a chaotic scene. The ballots, like he said, your guest said, the ballots, the wording is small. It's kind of confusing because some of the, for certain party lines, if it has a lot of candidates, it's coming over onto a bottom line, which for if you don't look carefully, you miss the person you're looking for, or you don't see everyone who's available on the ballot. The privacy booths leave a lot to be desired. In order to get to one, you have to walk behind other people who are in the process of voting, and I don't think, you know, that enables everyone to make sure that their privacy is ensured. And the whole process, and when you're sliding it in, the person, the poll worker is standing there while you're trying to put your ballot into the machine so they can see how you voted, unless, you know, because there are things to vote on both sides of the paper, so either way you flip it, they're going to see something. So it leaves a lot to be desired, and my fear is that someone who's not so into the voting process and does it because they've always known it to be fairly easy with the old voting booths and, you know, fairly quick, might be turned off by how the process has now, what the process has now become, how chaotic it is, how confusing it can be for certain people. I'm just afraid that some people might not vote because of it.
Well, Larry Norton, are you hearing this kind of story? I think Linnell put some of the challenges very well.
Yeah, a lot of what she mentioned we heard in the primary and to some extent are hearing again today. And you know, one of the challenges in changing a system is suddenly you have to figure out where places should go, where different parts of the system should go in the polling place, where the privacy booth should be, where the scanner should be, how the room should be laid out, where people should be waiting to vote, how far back the poll worker should be standing when somebody's voting. This is why it's a little bit unfortunate that that New York City waited until the primary to test out these machines, that they didn't do any pilot beforehand. Hopefully, between the primary and the general election and some of the elections going on next year, they'll start to learn some of these lessons and figuring out how to lay out polling places in the best possible way so people don't have these kinds of problems and privacy concerns. But, you know, I think any kind of massive change like this, and 49 other states have done it before us, there are going to be these kinds of complaints early on.
And, Linnell, I gather from our screener that you also wanted to voluntarily forfeit your privacy on the question of the two ballot issues and tell us how you voted.
Yeah, I voted for term limits. I was very upset when the mayor and members of city council decided to do away with the two-term limit and make it three. And then I'm doubly annoyed that now that they've gotten what they wanted, they're willing to endorse sending it back to two. But aside from that, I voted for two because and I'm glad that this time around it's taking away their power to change it by, you know, city council vote next time.
And how about the seven-question variety pack?
I voted for that. I kind of wish that it was separated because there are a lot of different issues within that seven-pack. But overall, what it was saying, it seems like good ideas, so I just voted for it.
Thank you for your call, Linnell. I appreciate it. Michael in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, you voted on those ballot questions, right?
I'm about to. I'm voting no on both ballot questions.
Because?
On number one, I'm not going to vote to affect the pre-term limit repeal deal that Bloomberg had with Lauder. Term limits aren't good for the city council anyway, but I am in favor of limits, two terms for the mayor. What's really wrong with Bloomberg's term limit power grab was that he changed the rules in the middle of the game during the election. Of course, the other problem is the phenomenal amount of money he has, plus his conflicts of interest.
And how about the variety pack? I gather you're voting no on that, too?
I'm going to vote no on that. Clyde Haberman described it, I think, well, as a Morton's Fork proposition, where nothing you can do is good. Gives more power to the mayor, limits the ability of the city council to require reports from the mayor, which I think would be terrible. I think we need to get better reforms at a later date, like instant runoff voting, and keep the pressure for real reform so we can vote for the proposals individually. I don't want to endorse what Bloomberg has handed us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Rena, you're on WNYC. You're voting on the ballot question.
Yes, I voted no on both. For different reasons than the gentleman who just was on before me. I am totally opposed to term limits, and I voted against them every time it was on the ballot. So if we have to have them, three is better than two.
So that
even
would,
though I did not like the Bloomberg
right.
power grab.
If so, just to clarify for people, if your bottom line is if we have to have them, three terms is better than two terms, then that would be a no,
a no vote,
on that
correct.
Question. So you don't roll them back to a two-term.
Exactly.
Run.
And I voted on no on that mishmash is what I call it. I like your term better, but I forgot what it is, because I think it's totally anti-democratic to have to vote on seven separate issues with one mm-hmm. vote. This up or down thing.
Any ballot issues, any voting issues with the new paper ballots or the
no,
machines for you?
My experience voting was good. I voted just shortly after 10, mm-hmm. and I was 177 in my precinct.
Which means somebody's voting somewhere. Rena, thank you very much. Larry Norton still with us, senior counsel with the Brennan Center at the NYU Law School. Keeping a watch on possible voting system failures around the country, including here in our area. And Larry, less than 2 weeks ago, the Brennan Center found the error on the New York City sample ballot where the instructions tell voters to fill in the oval above or next to the name of the candidate. But really, as we all saw, if we went to vote already today, the corresponding ovals are actually below the candidates' names on the ballot. And again, listeners, not to confuse you on this, the ovals that you fill in with the pens they provide are below the candidates' names on the ballot in New York State. And as it turns out, it's actually state law that mandates those exact incorrect instructions. Mm-hmm. Is that accurate?
Yeah. The language that's written into the statute says that jurisdiction should say either above or next to the name is where the oval that should be filled in. Of course, I think the intention there was that the oval actually be next to or above the candidate's name, which it is not in the way the ballot was designed for New York City, unfortunately.
And let's talk to somebody who did have trouble voting today. Bonnie in Little Italy, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Yes, I've been voting at the same place in Little Italy for 31 years, and I arrived this morning and was told that I was moved to a polling place about eight blocks away, and I walked over there, and they could not find my name anywhere. Also, a woman next to me had also been told to walk eight blocks, and they couldn't find her name either. We were allowed to vote using the paper ballot, but we had to fill out a lengthy form, actually an envelope, that we put the paper ballot in and sealed it. And it's very distressing to me because part of the joy for me of voting is seeing my name and my signature every time I do it. And to be sort of deregistered is shocking to me.
What can somebody do about that, Larry?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, I think this is the city has repeatedly failed in this area in terms of making sure that voters get notice of their polling places and when their polling places change, where they're supposed to go to vote. In fact, this happened to me. My polling place changed for the primary, and I never got a notice, and I showed up to the wrong polling place. A voter, if they get to the polling place and their name isn't there, they should ask the poll workers, if they're at the correct polling place, give them their address and should find out where the correct polling place is. And if they tell them that they're at the right polling place but they are not registered, they should call the city board and find out why their name is not on the registration rolls.
Bonnie, good luck with that. And again, listeners, help us capture the mood at your polling place on Election Day. After our show ends today, cast your vote, then answer this one simple question. How did it go at your voting site? Text DECIDE to 69866 to participate. Help us capture the mood and the experience at your polling place on this election day. How did it feel to vote? What was the experience like? You can text DECIDE to 69866 to participate in that. You know, one very common complaint that we're getting on our comments pages is that the font is mm-hmm. too small, and people are having trouble reading it on these printed ballots, and it is pretty small. As KOW from Greenpoint wrote on our site, the font is too damn small, which could be a new political party in New York State.
Right.
Is this a common complaint that you're hearing?
Yeah, absolutely.
And is there a way that they can enlarge it for the future?
Yeah, yeah. They should be enlarging them. Part of it has to do with the way the ballot is laid out. They could create a lot more space if they laid the ballot out differently, and it would be easier to read. I do want to say, if people are having trouble reading the ballot, there are magnifying glasses or magnifying sheets that they have at the privacy booths. A lot of people have not found those helpful. There are also what are called ballot marking devices at every single polling place, and those are computers, and you can blow up the print as large as you want to see it. I think, unfortunately, often poll workers don't let voters know that those are available to them. So if they're having any trouble reading them, one of the things they can do is ask to use the accessible unit.
And one of the reasons that we were told by the Charter Revision Commission chairman that they had to create that 7-question variety pack in the first place is that all they get is the back of a 1-page ballot for any ballot questions. Therefore, there wasn't room to have 7 different questions, or maybe some smaller number of different questions, in addition to the term limits question. But then we had a guest yesterday who said she believes that that's wrong, that that's actually a misunderstanding of the law. And if they want to have a multi-page ballot in the future, instead of just this, you know, both sides of one sheet, they are allowed to do that. Do you know the real answer?
Yeah, I believe that they are allowed. One of the things that happened with this ballot, the law changed last spring in terms of what a paper ballot has to look like and whether you can have more than one page. A lot of people, including I think the city board, did not recognize the changes in the law. We have what is kind of the way the ballot looks now is the way what the law required 2 years ago or last year even. And unfortunately, those requirements mean a more difficult ballot to read, having to cram everything into one page. Hopefully, the city board and other boards around the state will take a closer look at the way the law has changed and work with usability experts and designers, and there are plenty in this city to create a better ballot.
Now, before you go, there are reports that attorneys and volunteers from both major parties have headed to states with close races like Colorado, West Virginia, Nevada, Washington, California. These are congressional races and Senate races, so they can monitor elections to prepare for any recount fights. Are there any states that are particularly on your radar today with respect to possible ballot or recount issues beginning late tonight?
Yeah, well, of course, all of the close states are where you look for that kind of thing. You know, in a state like Ohio, where you traditionally have a lot of provisional ballots cast, that's where somebody comes to the polls and they're not for whatever reason, they're not on the registration rolls, and they have to fill out, as the caller mentioned before, a long form, and their status is checked later. That can lead to a lot of litigation because you know the results afterwards, and that can make a recount difficult because they're fighting over every single vote to determine whether or not it should count. Washington State is another one. Close race. Everybody votes by mail there. So there's an opportunity afterwards to challenge a lot of the votes and whether or not people were eligible. So that's another one. One thing I wanted to add, Brian, your caller who called in and said she wasn't on the rolls, in addition to finding out if they're at the right polling place, again, if they call 866-OUR-VOTE, those people can help them figure out exactly where they should be and make sure that their vote gets counted.
Right. So we will see late tonight whether we have another Al Franken, Norm Coleman situation,
right,
like in 2008 in Minnesota, where it was literally months before we knew who the senator from Minnesota was going to be.
And my guess is going to be that we're not going to – all of the races, the hotly contested races, are not going to be settled by the end of the day tomorrow. There are going to be lots of absentee ballots to count, and there are going to be some close races where we're just not going to know.
By the way, we're reminded that Mayor Bloomberg tweeted yesterday, I don't know if he was sitting there on Twitter himself, but somebody tweeting under Mayor Bloomberg's name tweeted that New Yorkers should use the hashtag #NYCVotes to report problems via Twitter today, and that there would be people at City Hall who will be watching for specific locations of ballot problems. You can tweet #NYCVotes to City Hall to report those problems today, we are reminded, from the mayor's office. Larry Norden, senior counsel with the NYU Law School's Brennan Center for Justice, thanks a lot for coming on and keeping your eye on the ballots.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. It's our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Brian Lehrer Show exit poll for Election Day 2010. We're doing a series of questions and guests. And next we'll talk to Mike Kelly from The Record, who's keeping an eye on some of those very important New Jersey races. And our next call-in will be for people who are voting for the first time today. If you are voting for the first time because maybe you just became a naturalized citizen of the United States, or maybe you just turned 18, or any other reason that you're voting for the first time ever today, we'll have a call-in next for first-time voters at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Call us up right now, and we'll also find out from Mike Kelly why control of Congress might be decided in the Garden State.